Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh my God! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Boglic.
There's the goal!
Richie!
Hello and welcome to the official Scotland podcast, building up to a couple of big games for the national team. I'm Gordon Duncan and I'm pleased to say I'm joined this afternoon by Craig Telfer from The Terrace and Tell Him He's Pelly. That's quite a long title. That got all that right.
Two different things.
Two different things. Stephen Mill from the Soccer FM podcast, and of course a man who doesn't really need any introduction, the new Scotland captain no less, Andrew Robertson, your second time in the podcast as well, so you were obviously quite good last time.
Yeah,
they've decided to get you back. I think there's only one place to start, Andy. Congratulations from us all.
Thank you.
How does it feel to be the Scotland captain?
Yeah, obviously it's a huge honour. It's one of the biggest honours you can get as a footballer, I think. And when the gaffer told me, I was just delighted. And he announced it in front of the boys, just after training, and then it was good to get, congratulated by all them. And then, obviously I spoke to my family as well. So, it's a big moment for me and all my family. And it's just, I'm just looking forward to kind of leading them out on Friday now.
What was that like then? So we all just kind of gathered round at Orium, and the manager just, did you have any inclination it was coming? Or?
Yeah, the manager told me before. So, it wasn't as big a surprise for me. But, none of the lads knew. So, it was nice to see how they reacted, and they all just gave us a token gesture clap, I think it was. And it was a nice feeling, and obviously they all seemed to accept it quite easily.
Forgive me for immediately piling so much pressure on your shoulders, but I'm sure you allow yourself to dream. What would it mean to you to be the first captain, since Colin Hendry, to lead Scotland out a major tournament? I know it might seem in the distance, but that's the reality, isn't it?
Of course, it'd be huge. That's the start of every campaign. That's the aim for all of us, and that's no different. So for I'll obviously have the chance to hopefully lead them to the Euros or a World Cup one day, and that has to be the aim. And all the players are determined that hopefully this is our time, and if it can be, then it'll probably be that wee bit sweeter for me that if I'm the captain to do it since 1998.
Stephen and Craig, you don't have to be scared to say nice things because he's in the room. I know that can be a bit awkward, but what do you guys think Andy will bring to that role?
I think that it's a natural choice. I think when you look around the squad and you see the youth that's there and you see what you've achieved, particularly over the past sort of 18 months since your move to Liverpool, playing in a Champions League final and going so well this season, fantastic, just at the weekend against Leicester as well. I think it's a natural choice.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's one of the things I think you'll do, Andy, is you lead by example. I don't think every performance that I've seen you give, you get very energetic, very driven, and I'm really keen to see what you can do. I suppose a question I'd like to ask you is, why do you think they gave you the captaincy?
Well, I think when it comes to national teams as well, big game experience is one of the key things. I think, and I can't tell you why the manager picked me. I don't know why, but he's obviously made the decision, and I think that might have been a key factor. Obviously, I'm playing at a high level, and obviously we've played the Champions League final, and I've played in a lot of big games, and I think more importantly, I'm still young enough, but I'm also been around this squad for a long time, so I'm comfortable with every player in this squad, and it's not I'm not too new, and I've still got hopefully many years being a Scotland player, so I think from his point of view, I think that's probably where he's coming from, and obviously I'm delighted that he's kind of took that thought process.
You'll have played under different captains with different styles. I mean, even here, Scott Brown, Darren Fletcher, different guys at club level. What type of captain do you think you'll be? I know some are perhaps lead by example on the field, some are vocal off of it. I think
it's about getting the right mix. I think, like the names you've mentioned there and people that I've had at my clubs, I think I've been very lucky to learn under, great captains, and I think it's about getting the right mix. It's about, obviously leading on the pitch with your performances and be able to, get the boys going if needed to, but then being off the pitch, if anyone's got any problems with that, then, I'm the middleman between us and the coaches. So, if any of them have got any problems, then, I've just dealt with my first one at lunch. There was no granola for Snodgrass, so I had to sort that out. So hopefully dinner will be granola, or I'll get it in the neck. But, it's the, small things that...
Friends in high places.
Yeah, it's the small things that don't matter, but then it's maybe the more important things that, you know, some new lads that are coming in to make them feel comfortable as soon as possible and get to know them. And, you know, that's what I'll look to do because, you know, when I was younger and played my first squad, I know how hard it is to come into a squad and not, you know, feel welcome. Luckily, I've never had that. So, you know, it's key that, you know, the lads come in and it's just seamless and, you know, because that's when you get the best off them on the pitch.
Can I just ask a more sort of personal question that just fascinates me? Because your rise has been so meteoric, what do your mates think of this? Like, are they not like, you know, it's just their mate Andy and he's the Scotland captain?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of them, you know, it's weird because a lot of them say to me, you know, when people are talking, you know, about me or whatever, and they just go, no, it's just, you know, it's just me Andy from school or whatever. And that's the thought process they still have. Do you know what I mean? And that's why, you know, I love them all and I still hang about with them because it's not on top of you. And they're my get out of football, really. That's when I can get away from it and they don't ask too many questions. So, but, you know, obviously they're as proud as my family. You know, I've got a really close knit group of friends and, you know, they're all delighted for me and, you know, probably looking forward to Friday now.
Now, I know we can't take all the credit, but since the last time you appeared on the Official Scotland podcast, you've become a Liverpool player, flying high in English Premier League, the small matter of a Champions League final. How on earth do you reflect on everything that you achieved last season?
It was tough. You know, it took me a couple of weeks to really sit down and reflect. I think just after the final and stuff, it was just a kind of whirlwind, and you know, you just couldn't get really your thought process. You know, it just, you know, the next day was a complete blur for me. We flew back straight after the game, and I got back in my house about 6:30, and I had 26 people over in Kiev, so they were all staying in the house, and you know, it was my worst like nightmare because I just didn't want to speak to anyone. It was one of the things, so I made sure I just hung it out with my little one because he couldn't speak, so I couldn't care what he said. But you know, I remember, and like obviously my dad is, you know, somebody I rely on, you know, massively, and you know, I think I just had a good chat with him. We actually went out to buy a barbecue. Because they were all coming around, it was a nice night, so I thought, you know what, get out of the house, we'll go to home base and buy a barbecue. And you know, they were all catching up and sleep. But you know, even after that week, I came up to Scotland, and you know, you just didn't really get a chance to think. It was only when I went away on holiday that really, you know, it settled in, and I can look back on you know how well I'd done, especially the last 6 months and what you'd actually achieved. But you know, the disappointment's still there. I'm not going to lie about it. You go to a final to win, and when that doesn't happen, it's so hard to get over.
How do you think your actual game has developed or improved since you moved to Liverpool?
It's improved massively. You know, Liverpool's a very unique way of playing under the manager, and it did take me a bit of time to get used to it, but once you get used to it, you know, you can just see you improving all the time, and that's what I feel I'm doing just now. I feel as if there's still a lot of improvement to go, and if I can keep doing that, then you know, I'm excited to see where I can go. But you know, I can, you know, even when I look back at maybe my first couple of games for Liverpool to now how I'm playing, I can just see the differences. And
what would be the differences in terms of things that you're told to do or things that you feel specifically have improved?
It's, you know, I think the manager's, you know, quite open about it, and he always speaks about it. You know, I think when we defend, we defend spaces instead of man. He just doesn't understand man marking. If, you know, if it's on one side and there's a winger out wide, then why should a fullback stay with him? Because the chances of the ball getting over there is hard. And I think that was one of the main things that I maybe struggled with to start, because I was very, you know, man orientated, and I kept on looking to see where my winger was when it was irrelevant, really. So, you know, now that I've got the hang of that, and you know, all the lads have got the hang of it, they've been there for a while, it makes sense once you get the hang of it, and you know, it can work, and the amount of times that we can get counter-attacks from that is you know, frightening, and that's why it works the way we play.
Craig, I'm convinced if you look at social media that people have an Andy Robertson calendar where they just look through and see what he's achieving, and then they say 5 years ago tonight he was doing this, and you see it all the time, don't you? It's become a sort of ongoing joke. But you are a genuine expert on the Scottish lower leagues. I can say that. You saw Andy in his early days at Queen's Park. Take us back to those times. And I mean, you're not going to sit here and say you predicted he'd be in the Champions League final. But
No.
Did you not know?
I was lucky enough to see you play Andy about 4 or 5 times this season. You were at Queen's Park. I'm a big fan of lower leagues, and I thought the best player in your team at the time was David Anderson, who was an absolutely magnificent midfielder, and surprised he never played at a higher level in the third division. And I liked the way that Gardner Spears had that Queen's Queen's Park team playing, because any time David Aronson got the ball, yourself in the left foot, yourself in the left flank, and I think it's Paul Gallagher who played right back, would just bomb up and down the pitch. So the things in your game that you're famous for, sort of your ability to cover all up and down the left flank, and your ability to whip a cross in, I thought that was all on show there. And I went to see your first game for Dundee United against Partick Thistle at Fir Hill, and I thought you handled the step up absolutely no problem at all. I thought it was excellent. And one of the things I would say, some of always wanted to ask you, is do you think your Queen's Park team perhaps underachieved by not winning promotion that season?
Yeah, 100%. I think we always, even when I speak to the lads, I think the squad that we had then was a very good squad. We had the right balance of experience and, you know, youth. You know, I think, you know, me, Blair Spittle, Aidan Connolly, Lawrence Shankland, you know, they were probably the four main ones that were the young lads. And then, like you mentioned, we had, you know, Davey Anderson, Jamie Longworth, Neil Parry, and like Paul Gallagher. So from that point of view, we did we underachieved. We felt obviously Rangers were in the league, so we knew they were going to win it. You know, everyone knew at the start it was going to be a race for second really and get in the playoffs, and we managed to do that. And then, you know, we just fell short against Peterhead. So it was a disappointment that season, but it's a season that I learned so much, and it's probably one of the, you know, biggest seasons I had, because, you know, you were playing adult football for the first time really, and the difference from that to, say, playing under 20s or whatever is huge. And, you know, the learning curve that I had that season was massive, and every game I was learning and trying to, you know, improve and put it into the next game, and I could see me doing that like week on week, which was pleasing.
Stephen, I'm well aware this is turning into us sitting around showering Andy with praise, but why do you think that he is such a fan's favourite?
I think it's the way you play. We've touched on that before. You're all action, you know, you're all over the pitch. I mean, fans can really buy into that. You look at fans' favourites from throughout the years, you know, that's a common trait with all of them. I was actually going to ask you about, you know, we've waited so long for two truly top-class players to come through in Scotland, and yourself and Kieran Tierney both playing the same position, which is obviously not ideal. But do you see yourself maybe at some point in the future playing further up the pitch, playing further forward?
I think I've played further forward before, and, you know, there might be times where I need to do it again or whatever. But, you know, I think for me, the way I look at it is, I think I'm a lot better coming from deep. I think, you know, when I'm overlapping or whatever, then I feel a lot more comfortable than maybe when I get the ball and I've got my back to play and I need to hold off a winger, because I don't, you know, don't really have any tricks up my sleeve. So from that point of view, you know, I prefer beating men by playing quick 1-2s or whatever, and that's obviously easier from deeper. So for me, I always see myself playing left back now. Whether that changes, you know, it might do, but now I can only see myself playing left back. I like going forward, but, you know, I do love defending, and I can see myself, you know, improving all the time there as well. And I think, you know, the manager at Liverpool's helped that massively, and, you know, I can, you know, I'm happy with the way I'm defending, you know, and that's the most pleasing thing for me, because, you know, a lot of people sometimes, you know, especially when I was up here, maybe forgot that, you know, it was just because I kept on bombing forward. But, you know, first and foremost, your job's to defend. I was just lucky I played in, you know, kind of fast-flowing teams that I could get forward. But, you know, if you're not doing your defensive work, then, you know, you won't be in the team.
Because it has been such a rise, Andy, you must be asked this all the time. I know for a fact you're asked this all the time. How do you look back on it all then? And by the simple fact that you are asked it all the time, you must have all these thoughts sort of flying around, because you're constantly reflecting on what's been an incredible journey.
Yeah, of course. I think genuinely the only time I think about it is when people ask me, because... not a problem. I always get asked it. But, you know, even when I was at, say, when I was at, just moved to Dundee United, and people said about Queen's Park or Hull, Dundee United and so on, then, you know, I'm always one to look forward, and that's just the way I've always been. I'm just, you know, if I play a good game at the weekend, I don't care about it. It's all about the next game, and that's the way I always just try and move forward. So it's only really when somebody asks, then I can, you know, you start thinking, and yeah, everything just starts running through your head of, right, I was there, and there. But, you know, I love my story. I love, you know, looking back on it, and, you know, especially when the time comes to hang up my boots or whatever, you know, I think I'll look back on it with so many fond memories. And, you know, the amount of people that I've managed to play with and keep in touch with is brilliant. And I might have not had the experiences if, you know, everything went to plan. You know, plans change, and mine's definitely did, even from a young age. So, you know, I'm delighted the way my story's went, and I just hope it continues now and hopefully add a couple of trophies along the way.
Well, since you're the skipper, I don't mind taking your lead. We can look forward now rather than that trip down memory lane. What are your hopes for this season? You set the bar pretty high last year. How do you go about sort of topping that? What's in your sights?
Personally, it's just about trying to use last season and build on it and keep getting better, because when you play for a big club like Liverpool, you don't really get too many chances. You need to keep performing, and that's why our squad's so good, because we're getting driven along by everyone behind us, and there's that pressure there from the fans, from the coaches. So it's just about trying to replicate last season to an extent, but getting better and better. And if I can do that, then I'll be delighted. We've got off to a good start, of course, and our squad's looking strong, but it's very early, so it's just about trying to keep going and keep building the momentum of winning games.
Craig, in terms of the national team, it's a bit of a new era for this national team. How excited are you by the group of players we have at our disposal?
Very excited. I was looking through the team, and I think it's hard not to be with some of the names that are coming through. Obviously, we've got two very top class fullbacks, and Andy and Kieran Tierney. I think that's a good basis to build on. I think there's stability there. Alan McGregor was excellent against the Celtic at the weekend, and I think that's good. We've got two good goalkeepers between him and Craig Gordon to go on, but bringing in guys sort of like Johnny Russell, who's obviously playing very well in the United States at the moment. John McGinn has done very well since he's moved to Aston Villa. You've got guys like Callum McGregor, James Forrest performing to a consistently high standard with Celtic. So I think there's a lot to be looking forward to in this team. And I think the Nations League will be a great opportunity to see just how good this group of players is.
I mean, Stephen, you were over in Peru. Who stood out for you? Because that was obviously quite an experimental group of players.
Craig's covered a lot of it there. I thought, John McGinn is going to be a superstar. I think he's, again, much in the mould of yourself. He's all action, gets stuck in. He's a fans' favourite already at Villa, and he's only been there for, 3-4 weeks. Scott McKenna as well. I know he's not in the squad this time round because of injury, but I thought he was fantastic in Peru. Like, for someone, again, who was, no disrespect to Air United, but he was on loan at Air United, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and now he's, there's £7 million offers getting turned down for him by Aberdeen, so it goes. So I think Scott McKenna is going to be a real linchpin, and you look at the spine of the team now. You mentioned the goalkeepers too, top class goalkeepers who can still play for another, at least two campaigns probably, and you've got McKenna, you've got Suter coming through, you've got Tierney, yourself, and you've got McGinn, and Griffiths is still only 26, 27 years old. So, I mean, there are lots of positives. It's just about getting it clicking all at the right time and making sure that we can finally make it to a major tournament.
What are the main differences you've noticed under the new management team? I'm sure, all different managers have different styles, so what's different about this current group?
It's just, I think the managers gave a lot of youth a chance. There's obviously been a lot, it's been probably a quite big overhaul from, if you look at the squads that was maybe starting the last campaign under, Gordon to now, then, they'll be lucky if, there's probably maybe only five or six of us that were still in and about it back then. So, the managers obviously, looked at young players like you've mentioned, like Scott McKenna. He probably wasn't even on the scene. Like you said, he was at Air United. So the start of last campaign, not many of us would have known Scotty now. I think he captained at Peru, so it just shows you how big an impact he's had. And I think we've got the right balance. We've still got the experience of, like you said, Greigsy, Snods, Charlie, people like that have been here and done it, and that can talk the young lads through it. But you've also got, exciting youngsters like, obviously, me and McGinn are the same age, but McGinn's just moved down south, and like you said, he's already a fan's favourite at Villa. And I know Steve Bruce loves him already, and that's key to him. So, people are performing at good levels now, and like you said, the Celtic lads are still producing every week, and that's crucial. But like you said, it's all about trying to piece it together, because I'm sure maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago, people said the exact same thing, excited about squads, and we still not managed to get to a tournament. So it's about trying to find the right formula to piece it all together, because we've not got long together. We only meet up for a week, and it's about just trying to get it right that suits all the players in the squad.
I suppose one way of doing that is going to be the Nations League, hopefully. And I know some people maybe just get a bit confused at what the Nations League is and don't really pay much attention, but it's pretty serious business. A quick reminder, it's basically split into four leagues, A, B, C and D. Each league consists of four groups. So far, so good. We are in League C, Group 1.
I'm going to cover your notes now.
When you start throwing numbers and letters out there. But we're in League C, Group 1. We play each team home and away. We've only got two other teams in the group, Albania and Israel. So essentially, the top-ranked teams in each league have not already qualified by the normal process, if you like, going to a playoff. The winner of this qualifies for the Euros. That sounds all right, doesn't it?
It's basically two chances to qualify. Yeah. That's the way that, that I'm looking at it.
That's the important thing, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Andy, for anyone who thinks, you know, right, we've got a friendly against Belgium, we've got this Nations League thing against Albania. The Albania game's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we've obviously got four games. We play, you know, Albania and Israel twice, home and away, and, you know, all the lads, you know, we know it's another chance. Because we've not qualified for tournaments, we're, you know, we're falling down the pots for when it comes to the Euros. So, you know, if you look back at our last Euro group, we had, you know, Germany, who were, you know, big boys. We had Poland, who had a great team, and we had Republic of Ireland. So it was always between us four, and yeah, we came close. But, you know, it was tough. And if this is another chance to try and, you know, get into a playoff or qualify for the Euros, then, you know, we've got to take it with both hands, and hopefully we'll do that. And, you know, hopefully everyone else in the country gets behind it as well and doesn't just treat it, you know, like you said, just this Nation League thing, because, you know, the lads are fired up for it, and, you know, we've got to try and take advantage of all the ways to qualify, and this is one way. So, you know, we've got four games, four big games, home and away, and, you know, hopefully by the end of it, then we're in the playoffs and we know that we can go into the Euros as a free hit, really, and, you know, we can take the Euros as, you know, trying to build on what we've just done, and then, you know, if we can qualify automatically from there, then perfect. If not, then we know we've got the playoffs to fall back on.
How optimistic should we be about doing the business in a group containing Israel and Albania?
I'll be absolutely furious if we don't qualify. No pressure. I mean, I had a look at on Wikipedia this morning at the Albania squad. Other than the guy that's just signed for Rangers, Eros Gresda, I don't know anything about it. I mean, how does that feel as a player? I mean, how familiar are you with the Albanian national team?
I'm not familiar with them, but, you know, I've been in this game long enough that, you know, we went to Georgia away, and we probably realistically didn't know many of their players, and, you know, they, and, you know, played in the game when we drew against Lithuania, when, you know, not many of their players were well known. So
how do you prepare for that sort of thing then?
You know, sometimes these games, just, I think Lithuania, we had so many chances in that game, but it just, you know, they hit us on the counter attack, and we just didn't quite manage to get it over line, and I'm not denying it was a massive disappointment, but, you know, these teams, sometimes they just have the work ethic and everything, and it's just like an underdog trying, you know, to show up and win, and they've got that heart, and they're representing their country, and they all love it. It's, you know, it's like when, you know, say we play in the FA Cup or up here the Scottish Cup, the amount of upsets that happen is because sometimes the lower team are more motivated, but it's a sign of a good team's showing up every week. And, you know, I think your perfect example is probably Man City last season. Every week they showed up, and, you know, they never let their guard drop, whether we're playing Man United or, say, no disrespect to Swansea, they get relegated, you know, it was no different. They showed up to win the game, and that's why they were champions at the end. And that's the kind of mentality we need to have. We need to have the mentality of, okay, yeah, we're maybe a wee bit more, we're a better known country, but we're in this group for a reason, and it's because we've ultimately failed the last, you know, 20 years realistically. And, you know, we've got to try and take advantage of it and show them both, you know, that we are a good team.
Yeah, I've looked at Albania as well. I don't really recognise many of their players. They've got quite a few that play in Serie A though. They've got a guy at the back, Hajsaj, that plays with Napoli. Luckily they got beat 3-0 at the weekend and he played the full 90 minutes, so that's encouraging. Their keeper plays with Atalanta as well. So, I mean, they've got decent players, there's no doubt about that. Christian Panucci is their manager as well, who, Italian sort of legend. And but I think when you look at the group, it's doable. That's the most important thing. And at this stage, we don't really care how the performances are, really. We just want to win and top the group. And you look, we don't lose many games at home. And if we can win both our home games and pick up a win away from home, we're pretty much home and hosed, and that's the way I'm looking at it.
What do you work, sorry Stephen, I was just going to ask Andy what they work on in a week like this, because obviously international football is very different. You perhaps do a lot of different things that you don't do with your club. What sort of things will you be working on this week?
Well, obviously, I think we've got the first team meeting tonight, so we'll probably know more, you know, tonight off the manager, because today was a very, you know, different day. Lads played yesterday, lads were doing a small session, hadn't played at the weekend, so on. And, you know, we done a wee bit, so, you know, lads were split today, so it's a very different day. But, you know, leading up, we've obviously got, you know, the tough test of playing against Belgium, which is a friendly, but, you know, the priority has to be Albania. But the lads haven't played, you know, long enough together with this manager that, you know, we can just, you know, we're not going to dismiss Belgium under any circumstances, but, you know, the qualifiers are always the biggest games. But, you know, Belgium will be a chance for the manager to see if things work, or, you know, maybe what team he's thinking of starting on the Monday or whatever. And then, you know, I'm sure he'll give, you know, people debuts, and, you know, we'll all hopefully get game time that game. And then Monday will be a massive game for us. So I think we'll be looking at Belgium, of course, we will, because we have to. And then, you know, we'll be focusing on Albania and seeing how they play, because, you know, I'm sure the lads haven't really seen how Albania play, and we won't really know their formation and stuff like that. And so we'll look at all that, and then it's just about trying to prepare the best we can to, you know, to get two victories if we can.
That must be quite a unique challenge, because on one of the previous episodes of this podcast, we spoke to Brian McLaughlin, one of the youth team coaches for the Scotland national team, and he was basically making the point that you're not going to make players technically better by coming away for 5 days. I mean, that work is done sort of elsewhere. I guess it's all about coming up with a specific strategy to go and try and deal with what's in front of you.
Well, you can see all the other countries that have done so well, Albania included, who, we mustn't forget, qualified for Euro 2016 and, you know, managed to beat Romania when they were there. And teams like Iceland and similar like that, they're so well organised and so well drilled, and they maybe don't have the best players. Like, I happen to think that we have a group of players who are really talented, and we haven't got the best out of them over the past, you know, 20 years, as you were saying. So I think that you're right, this must be just about getting organised, knowing what you're doing, and making sure that, you know, worst comes to worst, at least you're not conceding goals, and then you can build from there.
Now for the important stuff behind the scenes, lift the lid, who are you rooming with this week?
I'm in with Stuart Armstrong.
Is that a good thing, a bad thing?
Yeah, it's all right. I've roomed with Snoddy for 2 years, and obviously he was a late call up. So I think he was trying to sort it out, that we'd spoke to Frank to try and sort it. But, you know, I think Stu had already requested me. I don't know why Stu requested me, mind you, but you know, I've roomed with Stu before, so
how'd you get his hair like that?
Oh, I don't know. I seen him coming down for lunch getting the hairspray and that, and it wasn't for me, but you know, he makes a good cup of tea, so that's all that matters.
Priorities. What is it like in a week like this? Because I'm sure you work hard and you take a lot of information in, but there ultimately is a lot of spare time as well. I mean, how do you fill it? What sort of things will you guys get up to?
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of spare time. But like we touched on, it's a new squad, so I think even like small things of just, you know, sitting downstairs having coffees and trying to get together, getting to know each other a lot better. And, you know, I think like you said about Iceland, I'm sure if you walked in Iceland's camp, the togetherness will be, you know, through the roof. You can tell that from the, you know, the tournaments they've been to and every game they play. And I feel as if we did have that under, you know, the last manager and the last campaign, but, you know, there's a big difference now. There's a lot of new players, so it's about trying to create that again and trying to get the togetherness. If people aren't playing, of course they're disappointed, but, you know, get behind the lads that are playing, and vice versa, if the people are playing, then you know, get behind everyone and just try and, you know, Scotland, to do your best, and because it's all worth it. If we're at the Euros and, you know, the Tartan Army get, you know, their big day out that they've probably been waiting for 20 years and all the players and all the families and stuff, then, you know, we've got to keep that in our minds, because all the sacrifices will all be worth it.
When it goes back up to the room, a quick look at social media tells you that the Fortnite craze is sweeping amongst you young footballers. Are you a fan? Is it Netflix for you?
It's more Netflix for me, yeah.
What should we be watching? What's the Andy Robertson tip?
Oh, I've just finished Power, so I've just watched the last episode. Devastated with the end. I won't ruin it for anyone, but devastated with the end. But I'm more a box out kind of guy. I play a bit of FIFA, but that Fortnite and all that's just too far for me. I don't...
You agree with that?
I've never seen Power, and I've never played Fortnite. So
see, that's the thing. I'm actually worried. I think I'm getting too old for some of that stuff. I never thought I was too old for anything.
But
Power's fantastic.
You'll get that as well with your time at Liverpool, I guess, as well, because there'll be a lot of, say, travelling to Champions League matches. England's obviously a far bigger country than Scotland, so there's a lot of trekking about. Is it just trying to fill as much time? I mean, you must be an absolute expert in Netflix.
I know. Well, you know, with Liverpool, obviously, it's like, you know, you've got your kind of small groups that maybe, you know, we play cards and stuff. You know, there is a group that play cards here, and But you know, you see the lads at Liverpool every single day. So you know, if you put your headphones in, then nothing's really said. But here, you know, you'll probably get shouted at off the, but
off the captain.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it'll probably be me. It's usually me and Snods that are waking people up, to be fair. So, but it's just like I think Gordon Strachan had touched on it at the last campaign, and I think the gaffer's touched on it. It's all about trying to create a club team mentality at a national team, which is not easy. But if you can do that, then you know, I think you're on your way to success.
Steve, we've already covered you were in Peru. You clearly take this very seriously. Well, that's quite a commitment. What are your standout memories of being a Scotland fan in recent years?
You know what, the Peru trip was fantastic. Like, it was a trek and a half, and it was done with a few drinks having been taken as well. So, but it was amazing once we got there, because it's such a different place. It's a totally different culture. It was incredible. I met a guy at a bar who, you know, spotted that we were Scottish, and then proceeded to tell us that he knew who Colin Hendry was, and said, "Oh, blonde hair and all the rest." They played with Blackburn and Rangers. I was like, "Yeah, this is great. This is weird." But in terms of standout moments, there's one. And it's bittersweet now, and I think you know what I'm going to say, which is the free kicks, the two free kicks against England. I've spoken about it, like with my mates. We were all sat down for Hugman A, and we were having a few drinks and all the rest of it. We were looking back on the year, and I was just like, I wouldn't change those two moments for anything, because I was there. I was in the North Stand. I had my mates beside me. That's what it's all about. Like, that is completely what it's all about. We'll forget what happened afterwards. But for those two wee seconds, and it's the stupid wee things as well, because when we got the first free kick, my mate said something along the lines of, "He's definitely going to score here," right? So then, Lee wraps it in, and we're all going mental. And then we get the free kick 2 minutes later, so we're like, right, let's recreate what we did just there. I was like, Lewis, I was like, you say it. And he was like, "He's definitely going to score here," and he did. And it was just, I've never felt like that at a football match. Maybe, you know, one time at a Dunfermline match. But in terms of the Scottish national team, that is just, it was out of this world. I can't compare anything.
I can only say the same thing as Stephen. I think in terms of watching Scotland, I was watching it in my flat, that when we got the second free kick, The feeling of anticipation, we got the second free kick, that feeling, just, can he do it again? Is he going to do it again? And just to when the ball went, I went off my head. I was in watching the game myself, and I was up dancing, I was celebrating, I was running the place, and you're absolutely right, even though it was very disappointing to concede the goal at the end there, that feeling, that moment when we won the second free kick was just, That's even better than actually maybe it going in. Just the feeling that anything can happen here. You know, that was just out of this world.
Andy, you've seen what it means to these two. I think there's a potential that you could make them cry here, right? So here's your challenge. Just how much of an honour is it to represent Scotland?
It's a massive honour. I love it. I think when it comes to, you know, national teams, you know, some people criticise, you know, players pulling out and stuff like that. But I think we've generally got an honest bunch of lads that are just desperate to kind of pull on the Scotland jersey, and, you know, I'm no different to that. I look forward to the international break, and, you know, like I said, with the captaincy, obviously that's, you know, the biggest honour I've ever had. But, you know, pulling on the Scotland shirts, you know, a big honour as it is, and, you know, all the lads just love it, and it's great to see all the lads. And then, you know, when you get out in front of the Tartan Army, there's no better feeling. So, you know, I think for us, that's got to be the drive to, you know, make them happy, which, you know, yeah, we've gave them obviously happy moments, but, you know, we've not quite tipped them over the edge. I think that's the key to it. I think now we want to tip, you know, maybe the Tartan Army over the edge and book them up for, you know, hopefully a Euros coming up, and then we kick on from there, and, you know, we start qualifying for tournaments again, like, you know, back in the day when we always used to.
How much do you remember about your debut?
I remember everything about it. I remember Poland. I remember going to the sent out to warm up. I think it was about like 55-60 minutes, and I thought, oh, I'm just like token gesture, kind of going warm up, and then the gaffer like pulled me back, and there was like four of us out, and I was like, he's like, nah, man. So I was, you know, to kind of jog back to the dugout, and you know, I just remember getting ready and putting my strip on, and the gaffer just, you know, the gaffer just said to me, just go and play your own game, that's why you're in this squad, go and enjoy it. And you know, luckily my first touch, I think I drove forwards like 40 yards or whatever, and I think, you know, the manager spoke about it after the game, so I was happy that obviously I pleased him. And, you know, we won the game in the end. You know, a rare occasion of Scott Brown scoring with his left foot, I think it was, and you know, Scott Brown scoring is a rare occasion as it is. So, you know, obviously to beat Poland away, and it was just a friendly, but you know, to make your debut, and I had all my family there, it was a really great moment for all of us.
A couple of goals now as well. The one in Lithuania was quite special. Talk us through that.
Yeah, that was a special week. Obviously, my son had just been born, and then to come away from him was, you know, hard enough. And I think that touches on, you know, the sacrifices that we all make. You know, all the lads have done that over the time. You know, missed kids' birthdays, missed, you know, things that, you know, not others maybe do. But, you know, when I seen that goal going in, it was a really special moment. And, you know, I think everyone was surprised. But luckily it found the top corner. And, you know, that was a great night, obviously. A fantastic result for us.
In terms of this week, we've got a bit of an injury update, I think, in the squad. So the likes of Jack Hendry, Tom Kearney, Ollie McBurney, Matt Phillips pulling out the squad, Ryan Jack, Stephen Naismith, Robert Snodgrass coming into the group. Belgium up first.
Nice easy one.
A bit about them. where do we start? How do we go about beating Belgium?
Belgium are the third best team in the world, proven after the World Cup. They had an absolutely fantastic campaign, and when you look through their squad, they're all it's all household names. It's all guys that are playing at the very highest level. So it is quite daunting when you see the challenge that lies ahead. But, you know, something to touch on what Stephen said. You know, Scotland's success isn't going to be defined on what happens at the game against Belgium. What I would like to see is just a coherent strategy put in place that, as you've said, we've got a good group of players. We just need to figure out how best to use them. And I like to think that this game is going to be the first step in doing that for the competitive games that come up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shot at nothing against Belgium, because they have players who are just out of this world. I mean, Hazard's one of the best players on the planet. You'll have played against them, obviously, in the Premier League. And it's just, you know, a plethora of talent. Like Lukaku scoring two goals at the weekend as well, so he's in nice red-hot form by the time he comes to the Hampden. So it's going to be a difficult game. But just as Craig said, it's about showing that we can, you know, frustrate these teams to a certain extent, but still cause them a few problems, because I do think we have players that can cause them problems. And it's going in with the belief that, you know, you saw what Japan did in the World Cup. You know, they were 2-0 up against them and looked like Belgium were heading home in the last 16, albeit Belgium, you know, turned it around and what was an amazing sort of last 10-15 minutes or whatever. But so they can be got at. It's just about, you know, doing it in the right way, that we don't leave ourselves open at the back.
Andy, how do the players view friendlies in general? Because, don't worry, I'm not expecting you to sit here and say that they're as important as the qualifiers. Of course they're not, but I suppose ultimately, and you've seen this, this may well be a game where someone comes in and kickstarts their Scotland career and is here for the future. You know, it must be a big chance for players to stake a claim.
100%. I think, you know, all the lads are of the opinion that, like I touched on with pulling on the Scotland jersey, whether it's a friendly or not, but, you know, of course, there's that, you know, when you're driving up to Hampden and stuff, there's that special feeling when it's, you know, a qualifier or whatever, you know, getting clapped in and all that. You don't quite get that friendly, because I think friendlies is quite a different, you know, fan base, probably. You know, there's a lot, probably more kids and families and stuff that go and enjoy the friendlies, which is nice to, you know, obviously see them. But, you know, it's a chance for people to impress, because, you know, obviously in a friendly, you get I don't know how many subs we've got on Friday, but, you know, the gaffer will be able to make, you know, as many changes really as he probably wants, and it gives people a chance to try and impress, like you said, against the best. Belgium had a fantastic World Cup. They've got world-class players that, and also some lads, you know, you get a taste of playing against these players, and, you know, they find out probably, you know, how hard it is, or if they can compete at it, and that's what will make their careers probably. So, you know, lads will be looking to make their debuts. I think there's a few, and then, you know, other than that, they'll just be looking to kick on to try and impress and trying to push themselves, you know, into the manager's thoughts for Monday.
How beneficial is it playing your club football at such a high level? Because I imagine as somebody who's miles away from that, surely if you've tested yourself against these guys before, you at least know what to expect, and you have a bit more belief that you can go and handle them.
Yeah, you know what to expect. Doesn't mean you can stop it, but that's what happens every week. You know, you can play against, you know, I've played against Hazard, you know, plenty of times, and, you know, he's a fantastic player, and, you know, you just don't know what to expect of him every time, because he can pull something out of nothing. And the problem with, you know, Belgium and all the top sides is if you concentrate on Hazard, then somebody else pops up, and you know, that's the difficulty. But, you know, it's also, like I said, it's the chance to, you know, be competitive against the best, one of the best teams in the world, and that's what we've got to use to our advantage. Of course, we're massive underdogs and stuff like that, but, you know, it's about trying to get confidence and, like you said, trying to, you know, use the formation whatever the manager picks. And if he picks, you know, the team that he's thinking about Monday, us trying to work together, or, you know, if he's giving people some starts, then that's fine. It gets everyone up to match speed for Monday. So, of course, Monday's a priority, but Friday will be a massive game for all of us.
Now, Craig and Stephen, we like to do a bit of a feature at the end of these podcasts where we put you on the spot. I'm just going to let Andy judge. I won't ask him for his team. He's going to be the judge. So I want you to come up with your ultimate Scotland team from your lifetime.
Okay, well, most of my, I don't really think about this one, so you haven't really put me on the spot, sorry. I've got mine all written down.
Oh, these guys have had the chance to do some homework, right? Okay, that's interesting. So I didn't know that.
Most of mine would come from like 96 and 98, because that's when I was a wee boy, and obviously that's a very successful Scotland team. I've gone for Jim Leighton in goals, even though my lasting memory of him was being lobbed by Hadji in the Morocco game. Left back yourself, Andy.
Thanks so much.
Can't sit there and go Kieran Tierney, Andy Robertson on the bench. He's sitting right next to you.
Go for Colin Hendry and David Weir at centre back, Alan Hutton at right back. And so I've gone for a 4-3-3. I've gone for Gary McAllister, John Collins, and Darren Fletcher. And up front, James McFadden, Gordon Dury, and Ali McCoist.
Happy with that? Strong?
That's a strong team.
Go on then, Stephen.
Right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that about Kieran Tierney at left back.
As long as they're both in there.
Yeah, no, that's right. Okay. So I've gone for a 4-2-3-1 formation, just
very,
so I can fit
modern.
You all in, basically. I went for Andy Gorham in goals. I think just in the, I was a wee boy, same time, 96, 98. I just thought Gorham was absolutely outstanding, and probably Jim Leighton was coming towards the end of his career by that point. So I went for Gorham in goals. Left back, I went for Kieran Tierney. centre half, Colin Hendry and Richard Goff. Right back, I've gone for Jackie McNamara, former Dunfermline player, so that's
biased. Don't mind that.
Bias there. And then the two holding midfielders, I've gone for Darren Fletcher and Paul Lambert.
Andy Robertson's really starting to get worried. he's not in this team.
Yeah, you know how earlier on I asked you whether you want to play further forward, and now's your chance. So you're on the left hand side of the midfield. James McFadden on the right, cutting in. John Collins just sort of floating around in the middle of the park, and then Ali McCoist up front.
You've got to be happy with those. That's stock selection.
Yeah. Fair use,
I think that just about brings us to a close. Let me finish off by thanking Stephen and Craig for their time.
Thank
and of course, and I'm sure you won't be offended if I reserve the biggest thanks for Andy, our new Scotland captain. We wish you well, thoroughly deserved.
Thank you.
Just a couple of bits of housekeeping to round us off. Tickets for both Belgium on Friday and Albania on Monday on sale at tickets.scottishfa.co.uk. If you were in two minds, I'm sure Andy has inspired you to go and get yourself a ticket. Now, if you're in Aberdeen, Fife or Edinburgh and you fancy getting dropped off and picked up from Hampden Park, well, CityLink are looking after you, putting on special buses. More info available on the Scottish FA and CityLink websites. Last but certainly not least, if you haven't already listened, we have recorded a podcast with the Scottish FA JD Performance School manager and national youth team head coach, the longest title in the Scottish FA, Brian McLaughlin. That's well worth a listen. He discusses various aspects of player development, Billy Gilmore, and the future of Scottish football.
Cooper comes up, hits it. Yeah!
Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Dogleach.